Hey guys, and welcome to 2018 Pints and Puzzles, or what I'm calling Season 3. Yeah, sure, why not? There's no limit to the seasons. Full transparency, I actually wrote most of this outline between Christmas and New Year's of 2017. After a variety of delays and viruses, we are officially back. I did just mention outline, so tonight is unscripted, and we're kind of just flying by the seat of our pants, as they say. But it should be fun, and you'll understand more once we get into tonight's topic. I wanted to start off tonight with some housekeeping notes, just to give you an idea as to what to expect in 2018, and just some of the direction of where the show's going. And then we're going to talk about my personal take on UFO news from late last year. So hopefully that sounds good to everybody, and we can get right into it.
What's the podcast? Play me a podcast. You miss me to my dad. My dad shows the best.
As far as 2018 goes, we'll be changing things up a little bit on the show and having a little more fun with things. Schedule-wise, we'll be switching to roughly twice monthly schedule as our schedules permit, and we'll be trying out some new setups and playing around with some different content too. All that said, we have some really fun things in the works, like an interview with Chasing Earhart that should air in early February. We have a really fun giveaway contest in March. And also exclusive sneak peeks into a really exciting new podcast project that I'm working on that I really think you guys are all enjoy as well. And I'm having a lot of fun trying to put that together simultaneously with this show. So with all that out of the way, let's take a real quick break to do some of our sponsors, and then we will get into some alien talk. I know many of us are recovering from the joys and added stresses of the holiday season. And what better way to treat yourself than with an amazing handbag from our partners over at Fulton for Life? Not only will you get an additional 10% off with my promo code PINTS at checkout, but there's also some additional year-end sales going on to make room for some awesome inventory in 2018. As always, head on over to fultonforlife.com, that's FultonForLife.com, and use my promo code PINTS at checkout. While I'm talking about some awesome small businesses, if you're a podcaster, videographer, or otherwise in need of either music or sound design, I'm going to recommend you head on over to PutThemInASong.com. Shane over at Put Them In A Song is the one who made the intro to this show, as well as some other phenomenal podcasts out there. You can actually get an additional 30% off your order with my promo code PINTS over at PutThemInASong.com. These are some pretty amazing savings depending on your needs, so definitely go check out both FultonForLife.com as well as PutThemInASong.com for some awesome savings and services. I want to spend some time tonight discussing my take on the recent buzz around the recent UFO reports and kind of disclosure as a whole. Now, of course, this episode is 100% my opinion, nothing more, nothing less. I know I would typically have our UFO guy, Rob, on to discuss this, and honestly, his head may explode with some of these asinine opinions that I have. However, Rob is really hard at work on his podcast, Our Strange Skies, that is already out and has episode 0.5, I believe he said, out. But you guys already knew that because you're already all subscribed in iTunes, or you should be at least, right? So there's your fair warning.
Come on! Get to the show!
Okay. So what are we actually talking about tonight? For those of you that don't know, the New York Times and Politico magazine both published respective articles on December 16th of last year, that was 2017, that combined what many of us in the tinfoil hat arena have already either known about or at least talked about for years. The government has interest in UFOs and has a program to keep track of our reports. I'll get to my opinions in a minute, but here's the factoids, at least from the article. Recently retired intelligence official Luis Elizondo ran a program for the U.S. Defense Department that studied reports of, you guessed it, unidentified flying objects. The Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program was a $22 million program that ran from 2007 until 2012. Or should I say it was at least funded during that time frame. The program is primarily fueled by Nevada Senator and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, as well as two other senators, in partnership with none other than Robert Bigelow. Yes, that Robert Bigelow. So to me, this is essentially similar in nature to Project Blue Book. They even released a few examples of videos from military pilots of strange objects moving at speeds and in ways that they didn't think were from this Earth, or at least not from any known technology. So you take these couple of examples and you combine that with admissions that they were storing the alloys or metal fragments from these crafts in warehouses that was run by Bigelow Aerospace. And definitely some of these corners of the UFO community are really in a buzz, to say the least. So I think it's important to talk about some of the people that were mentioned in the article, or at least surrounding the article. And the three main ones that come out in my head, at least, are... The first is one of the article authors, who is Leslie Kane, or actually Leslie Kane is her real name, but I was pronouncing it Kane in episode 4 of Pints and Puzzles, which was on the Kecksburg UFO incident. And she worked with some of the groups to try to actually sue the government to get some of that information released on Kecksburg and what exactly happened there through FOIA requests. So she's definitely not new to the UFO community and not new to these type of government releases. The next one that's important and that's on the list is, of course, Senator Harry Reid. One of the key elements that we'll get to in a minute, but I think is important to bring up, is that in December of 2016, Senator Reid tweeted, quote, "If anyone says they have the answers, they're fooling themselves. We don't know the answers, but we have plenty of evidence to support asking the questions. This is about science and national security. If America doesn't take the lead in answering these questions, others will." There's definitely a lot of layers to what he said that I think are important to bring up. The next one is, of course, everyone's favorite person, Robert Bigelow. So for those of you that aren't too familiar with Bigelow, he was a person who made his living with hotels and different real estate investments. And then he's notoriously famous for buying up Skinwalker Ranch. And those of you that want good coverage on that, both Astonishing Legends and Not Alone have extensive part series on that, as well as I believe Pleasing Terrors also did a brief episode on that as well, too. But anyway, definitely go check that out on one of those options if you need some more background on the weird activity that happened at Skinwalker Ranch. It's kind of funny that Robert Bigelow, of all people, bought up the ranch, and then it was rumored for a while that he was doing some unofficial research for the government. Well, that's why it's important that he's actually connected to this article, because it's actually kind of proof to the speculation that people were thinking that he was connected to some of these strange and unusual activities, basically from the beginning. Officially, though, Bigelow's main objective is to build a structure that can be deployed into space and actually have humans living in space. That's officially what Bigelow and Bigelow Aerospace is actually working on right now. And of course, it's important to note that Bigelow has officially said on 60 Minutes, I believe it was, that he believes that extraterrestrials and UFOs have in fact visited Earth. So that's definitely interesting that he's involved with both this release as well as a major part of this government-funded program, essentially. The last name I think that it's important to mention here is Tom DeLonge, actually. So for those of you that don't know, Tom DeLonge was the former guitarist, I believe, for Blink-182, which I personally think Blink-182 was a Green Day ripoff, so I never got into them as a kid. Nonetheless, Tom actually started the To the Stars Academy, which he's saying will ultimately bring disclosure to all the UFO information from the government. So officially, in the political article, it says, in a video advertising the company, DeLonge describes To the Stars as a, quote, public benefit corporation that has mobilized a team of the most experienced, connected, and passionately curious minds for the U.S. intelligence community, including CIA, Department of Defense, who have been operating under the shadows of top secrecy for decades. And some of the other members that are part of this To the Stars Academy are former CIA people, as well as Lockheed Skunk Works. Also, I think it's important to point out that Luis Elizondo, that used to be in charge of this program, is actually now part of To the Stars Academy. So I personally have mixed feelings on this whole Tom DeLonge thing. I think his head might be in the right spot as far as trying to get things disclosed and get things out there. I think his execution might be a little off as far as how he's going about doing it. At least important to mention him. And if you want to hear a slightly crazy interview from him, he was actually on Joe Rogan a few months ago, kind of hinting that he had something big coming in the works. And I guess this was it. Okay, so now that we talked about some of the players here, what does this all mean? So the first thing I think it's important to point out is UFO does not equal alien. So UFO is unidentified flying object. That's it. So I think the one thing we can agree on is these are definitely unidentified flying objects. At least the two examples that were officially released, there's Navy pilots that definitely could not identify what the object was or how it was moving, and thought the technology is definitely something that they haven't seen as far as the quote-unquote non-ballistic motion, to use the new catchphrase in the UFO arena. But I think it really is important to point that out, that unidentified does not always mean from another planet or from out of this world, although it can. To me, the Politico article summed it up perfectly when they said one possible theory behind the unexplained incidents, according to former congressional staffer who described the motivations behind the program, was that a foreign power, perhaps the Chinese or the Russians, had developed next-generation technologies that could threaten the United States. To me, that's a lot of what Harry Reid was hinting at in his tweet as well, too, is that there's definitely some kind of objects out here that are moving in a way that seems more advanced than what we currently know of. So that's a threat to our national security, regardless of if it's from the Chinese, the Russians, or an outside external technology as well. It's still definitely a threat in that it's something that's way more advanced than what our current technologies are used to and used to defending against. So from that perspective, the government absolutely needs a program like this, and I would be completely surprised if they weren't identifying unidentified aerial threats. And I think the real question is, what does this actually mean? Who or what created this kind of technology? And who or what are their motivations for flying that type of thing in our airspace? The other aspect that I think is important to point out is that we're not the only ones that are watching the skies, for that matter. So if we don't get ahead of what these things are, then another country could possibly get ahead of it, if it is something that's extraterrestrial. And then that could be an even bigger threat to the United States if they were able to, you know, reverse engineer or somehow harness that technology if it is something extraterrestrial that we're not familiar with. It's also important to point out that this is actually kind of a small project in the whole scheme of things. And I think it was Neil deGrasse Tyson, actually, that was talking about this on CNN or one of those channels, where he was saying that $22 million of $600 billion budget is like 0.003% of a percent of the entire defense budget. I may be off by a few zeros or something like that, but basically it's an extremely small percentage of the overall defense budget. And I think that's one of the frustrations and why some of this information was released, was because they weren't getting enough traction behind, hey, there's something up here and there's some weird stuff happening that, yeah, we're filing and we're cataloging, but we're not actually taking any action on. So I think that's some of where the frustration was and why it's why they claimed they were releasing it to the public now. The last thing I find really interesting is that a lot of these sightings were around either nuclear installations or nuclear submarines or nuclear powered ships, that type of thing, which to me could either signal a foreign government, which is kind of keeping an eye on our nuclear activity, or some kind of extraterrestrial that is also kind of keeping an eye on things. I personally have always found the connection between UFO sightings and nuclear weapons to be very interesting and definitely something worth looking into in some more depth. With various reports throughout the years of either sightings or even in some cases direct interference from those notorious glowing orbs in nuclear tests and around nuclear facilities, I think there's definitely a connection there that's probably worth exploring on a future episode or even another show. So the real question is this, and I think what it boils down to is this some kind of distraction to just stop talking about some of the political things that are happening right now? Or is this actually a step towards disclosure? My honest answer is I'm not 100% sure. I think that there's the reality of disclosure and full disclosure happening is probably very slim. And I've talked about this on other episodes, but it was actually the Travis Walton episode that made me think of this the most, where he said disclosure doesn't actually make sense from a governmental perspective, because if they disclose that there's this bigger threat, and kind of back to the Ronald Reagan thing, but there's this bigger threat, then people start losing their, they're not Americans, they're defending the world, so they're world humans or humans rather than Americans. So it kind of loses some of that control that the government has. And I know that sounds a little Alex Jonesy right now, but it kind of makes sense when you're thinking about it as far as big picture and what they would have to lose versus what they would have to gain if full disclosure happened from the U.S. government, at least. All that said, I think that actually could be possible someday, but I'm not sure that we're there yet, and I'm not sure that this type of dissemination of information is really what some people hope it would be. And I think it was actually Joe Rogan who tweeted out that it's kind of like the whole Charlie Brown going to kick the football and Lucy pulling it away from him. That, yeah, the one time you really think the football could still be there when you go to kick it, but more than likely you're going to end up on your butt. Now, of course, the flip side to this argument is that it could have been some kind of false flag or Project Bluebeam, which that's a really fun one to look up if anybody wants has the desire to do that. We're probably not going to discuss that on Pints and Puzzles, to be honest, because it's a little too far out there even for this show. But it could be that. It could be preparation for something or some kind of like desensitization as we start to plan things like moon bases and Mars colonies and trips to Mars in the not-so-distant future. That I don't think it's as unrealistic as it once was to think that, okay, let's start putting this information out little by little, kind of a slow drip, and kind of get people thinking in that mindset so that when we do start to expand outside of this planet, and when trips do start happening outside of this planet, then, you know, people aren't surprised when they hear reports of UFOs or strange craft or different things happening. And now keep in mind, too, that the U.S. government isn't the only ones that are doing these expansion programs. You know, there's private organizations like SpaceX that are doing a lot of things right now. And there's even other countries like the Chinese that are starting to get space programs that are designed to put bases on the moon as well, too. So I think the government could possibly be trying to get ahead of that, where they're like, okay, if we slowly drip this information out, then nobody's going to be surprised when another government mentions this and, you know, we have our hands caught in the cookie jar. So the bottom line is this. As much as I would love to believe that this is some kind of major disclosure, I think the reality is that the admission that we don't know what's up there sometimes and what's above our skies is definitely a step in the right direction. As much as it's no surprise to those of us that have been reading about this for years, it's kind of nice to get some official confirmation on some of these factors as well. But that said, I don't think it's the major disclosure event that everybody's hoping for and everybody's thinking that's actually going to happen here. Anyway, that's my take on disclosure and some of the information that was released at the end of last year. I know some of you were asking me on Twitter about it, so I wanted to kind of make a mini part of this episode, just my opinions and kind of my thoughts around it. And we'll, I'd love to be pleasantly surprised in the future about it. I think that will do it for this episode of Pints and Puzzles. As always, if you'd like to discuss any of the information that we talked about tonight, minus the Blink-182 Green Day thing, because I'm right on that. By all means, reach out to me on Twitter or email and we can have a rational discussion about things. Our beer review is coming up tonight, right after a couple of great promos.
I'd like to introduce you to a documentary-style podcast about real people pretending to be someone else. It's called Pretend Radio. It's about con artists, false prophets, and real people who are living a lie, like this man who worked as an FBI undercover agent for 27 years.
So what I had to do was a cold approach, which is in undercover cases is the most difficult. So Mahmoud looks at me, but he's still glaring, and he barks some orders in Arabic. So I'm thinking to myself, did Mahmoud just tell him, you know, get the Uzis and pull the van up by the back door?
And we learn how one man went from being a small-time street thug to running a multi-million dollar medical scam.
He goes, you know the doctor went to jail, right? And I was like, the doctor went to jail? I was like, no, I didn't know that. Why would he go to jail? He said, yeah, man. I called my lawyer and I tell him, hey, man, look, I think I got a little problem. He says, what happened? I said, I talked to this guy. He said, the doctor went to jail. I'm pretty sure that if the doctor went to jail, they're going to probably be looking for me as well.
If you like what you heard, subscribe now to Pretend Radio. And follow us on Twitter, pretend_radio. Remember, fake it till you make it.
From Apple products to Zelda games, and from aliens to zombies,
we are Double Density. Tech Tales and Paranormal Primers with your hosts, Brian and Angelo.
New episodes every Wednesday. DoubleDensity.net.
Tonight's beer review is Fagley Space Monkey from Allentown Brewworks in Allentown, Pennsylvania. It's a 7.5% beer, which is a, quote, farmhouse style made with raspberries with hints of lemon and pepper. You have this beer smell right up front, raspberry in the taste, and then you get some of that IPA body and a touch of the hops to finish that out. It's a fruity beer, but it's not overly sweet, and the nitro is nice to kind of make it extremely drinkable. So it's unique in that it's not really sour like your typical sour or farmhouse style, and it's not super sweet like a fruit beer. So it's kind of a nice balance, and it has a surprisingly also balanced ABV of 7%, so you're kind of right in the middle there. And it's apparently brewed with 300 pounds of raspberries, so that's kind of cool, and it's where you get some of that raspberry flavor, I guess. All right, that'll do it.
That was pretty awesome. That was totes amazing. Wowers. That's really great.